In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's not about you. This is what Bishop John, who we hosted a while back, said to me over and over again before my ordination to the diaconate. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. Your salvation is not about you. Certainly you're involved. It's your salvation. But we are not saved as individuals, but as one of a community. Our salvation depends on how we live and what we do in the context of that community. Today's gospel makes this very strong point. And it gives us some insight, not full insight, but some insight into what the coming judgment may be like, will be like. It says that all nations are gathered together in Christ's presence as he is enthroned in glory. Are you going to stand still or you want to go back to mom? Okay. Christ is enthroned in glory and gathers all the nations. The Greek word is ethne. All the ethnicities, everybody. So these are going to be your neighbors in heaven. Get used to them. And not just all the nations that currently exist, but all those in the nations that have ever existed from the beginning of time, and all those who are yet to come, unto ages of ages. This is what we mean when we say that. From the ages that way until the ages that way. Amen. That's good. And this judgment is not some pagan weighing of your heart against a feather or gold or whatever it is. But it is simply being in God's presence. In St. John's Gospel, we hear that Christ came not to condemn the world, or even to judge it. He came to save the world, that through him the world might be saved. He is the light that shines in the darkness. It illuminates all the dark corners of our hearts and shows what's there, even those things we try to hide. Another place in St. John's Gospel, Christ says, "And this is judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." And so the light of God is judgment, illuminating things and making them clear. And so really, our judgment is ourselves. We pronounce our own judgment. And we see this very clearly in the parable. Christ has essentially drawn a line in the sand and asked us to choose which side of that line we would like to be on. We can be on the side of God, the side of love, and show love actively in our life, or we can be on the side of the demons and enter into that fire that has been prepared for them. The fire is not prepared for us. It's not meant for us. God desires that all should draw near to him and be united to him. But he gives us a choice. Father Thomas Hopko points out that in Christ's answer to this question of, well, when did I see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and minister to you or not minister to you? Christ's answer to this question is, truly I say to you, amen, I say to you. Now this amen is usually it comes at the end of a statement, and it comes from the person who is hearing the statement, saying, amen, so be it. I agree and assent to what was just said. But Christ begins his answer with, amen, I say to you. There's no room for disagreement or discussion on this point. Amen, I say to you. As you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so the judgment is love. Have we loved others, our fellow human beings? And if we have loved our fellow human beings, even the least of these who have no possibility to repay us, these other people who, as we are the image of God, if we have loved them, we have loved God. Now, in my very legalistic and fallen mind, I had a little thought, and forgive me for this. But so does that mean that I only have to love the least, and you know, maybe some of the middle people I can just not love? Because honestly, sometimes that's what we do. Sometimes we have a community dinner and we love those people who come. Or we, you know, work in a soup kitchen, or we hand $5 or a water bottle to somebody at the side of the freeway. And we love them in our action. And then we show up at church and are just downright nasty to each other. That is not at all what Christ is saying. Even the least of these, all the way up to the most pious, all the way up to the wealthiest, we need to love them. And in doing so, we love God. For even sinners love those who love them, right? We're called to love everyone. And again, the great commandment that Christ gives, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as your neighbor, and your neighbor as yourself. Or actually, this is the answer that the lawyer gives to Christ. And Father Thomas again points out that we are to love God with our whole heart, with every desire that we have. We are to love God with our whole life. Everything that we do, this word for life is psyche, the soul. With our very soul, every bit of our life, we are to love God. With everything that we think in our mind, and with all of our strength, our power, our influence, the fathers point out especially our wealth, we are to love God through our neighbor. My sense of self as a Christian must be found in the other. It's my love of God by denying myself in love for my neighbor. And in doing so, I find myself and demonstrate my love for God. Again, the evangelist John says, how can we love God whom we do not see? when we don't even love our brother whom we do see? And so we need to start with loving our brother, and in doing so, show our love for God. It's an active love, not a passive love. It's not some idea, certainly not some warm, fuzzy feeling, especially around Valentine's Day. That's not what Christ is talking about. It's an active love. St. John encourages us not to love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. I tell my children often, words are cheap. Show me. Show me. And so God says this to us today. Show me your love for me. On the day of judgment, we will not be judged by what we think or say. We will not be judged by if we've memorized the creed without the filioque. We won't be judged by, you know, do we know the eight tones or these are good things, of course. But how have we actively loved our brother? Now, it's possible, entirely possible, to do loving things, to give out food, to give shelter, to visit the sick or imprisoned. It's possible to do all these things without love. But if it's going to profit us, it must be done with love. 1 Corinthians 13 lists all of these wonderful things that love is. And then starts saying things like, if I give all that I have to the poor, but I don't have any love, what good is it? Even if I become a martyr, I give my body to be burned, but it's done without love, it profits me nothing. Love is the key. Love is the key. St. Simeon the New Theologian gives us a wonderful reflection on this account of the Last Judgment. He points out that Christ insists that what you have done to others, you have done to him, because he has, in fact, become human. He has become our neighbor. And when he says, I was hungry, it's because he was hungry. And he hungered so that he might become food for us, the bread of life, so that we might not hunger again. And when he says, I was thirsty, it's because he thirsted. On the cross, he says, I thirst. And they gave him vinegar. And he thirsted so that he might become a well of life springing up within us who partake of the Eucharist, that we might not ever thirst again. And he became a stranger, not welcomed in his own city, and being given no place to lay his head, crucified outside the city walls as a stranger. And in doing so, he overcomes our estrangement from the Father and makes us fellow citizens and heirs of the household of God. And he was naked as a baby in the cave, in his circumcision, in his baptism in the River Jordan, hanging upon the cross, so that through his nakedness, we would be clothed by him. He was imprisoned and convicted under the law to set us free from bondage to sin and death. He became even more than sick. He was wounded for our transgressions, beaten, nailed to the cross, crown of thorns placed on his head, his side pierced with a spear. And through his suffering and pains, our suffering and pains are healed. And by his death, he became our life. He takes everything that is ours so that we might have everything that is his. It's a beautiful reflection by St. Simeon the New Theologian, showing Christ's concrete presence in our humanity. His example of what it means to be human. That same humanity which I share with each and every other human person that I'm called to love. And so, brothers and sisters, this judgment that we hear of today, this is simply standing in the presence of God and having our being, our whole life, illuminated by his light. Are you a sheep or a goat? Do you walk in the light or prefer the darkness? It's really not about you. Have you loved others indeed in truth? And before you hang your head in despair, or alternatively pat yourself on the back, there's still time and there's always room to do better. As we approach this Lenten season, let us do so in hope and humility. In hope and humility. And in love for God and our neighbor with our whole self. Amen.